It's kind of like Forrest Gump going for a run from coast to coast, but that's going to be kind of nice.
I tell you what, that's going to be fun. He's a good man. I met him at the Minnesota Twins game. We'll talk more about that. He's a passionate guy. He left his job after 10 and a half years to promote this and called Paddle for Progress. He's going to be our first guest. By the way, Mark Lukey's in town. He's the producer. I'm Steve Straczynski. Boomer is here.
Hello, hello.
And you were going to say something else, Boom?
Yeah, we've got Tanner Cheerney on. He's going to be on the second segment. We always call Tanner our fifth outdoorsman because Tanner is a friend of the show, Devil's Lake, North Dakota Tourism. Great place to go fishing, great place to go hunting. They've been with us for 5 years. And we're going to get a fishing update from him because myself and that beautiful Alumacraft 205 Shadow Series competitor, loaded with Blackfish gear and Clam Open Water Pro Tackle, we're headed out to Devil's Lake tomorrow at 5 a.m. And we're going to film a couple shows with Midwest Outdoors. We're going to join Josh Shave from Blue 42. He's going to be doing some photography. And we're going to be fishing for walleyes Monday through Thursday this week in Devil's Lake. So we're going to have him on as well.
I'll let you talk more about that in a couple of seconds. But this is the first time, by the way, Boomer's got the Alumacraft. What's the kind of boat is it?
It's a Competitor 205. All right. It's almost 21 feet long and 8 feet wide, and boy, does it scoot with 250 horses of Suzuki behind it.
I'm not sure where Boomer just came from, but the boat and trailer's in the parking lot right now behind his pickup truck, and if it looks like Darth Vader should be driving that thing. I tell you, it'd be a hell of a commercial. Some of Darth Vader behind the controls of that boat. It is gorgeous.
Well, I tell you what.
I can't wait to get in it, pal.
It is a beautiful boat, and we've had a couple trips on it now from Minnetonka to Waconia to where we just were a couple times,
Traverse,
on Gull Lake, Lake Traverse. Yep. And what a special event. Now, I know, Mark, you couldn't make it because you had a graduation to go to and you had your field trip in Wisconsin. But
and I couldn't make it because you didn't invite me.
Well, next time, maybe Wild Card will have to get you in there. But Nicole and I and the kids, Sophie and Cole, we were just out on Gull Lake. I just rolled in with the boat to support the 10th annual Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, which, guys, the church, it kicked off on Friday. It was absolutely packed, Mark. I think 100-plus boats participated in it. Big names in the industry. And when I mean big names, Ron Shera was there. Steve Carney was there. The Linders were there. All types of different media folks, tournament anglers were there. And it's a multi-species event. And every year, this charity tournament, it's been going on for 10 years, raises hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to support Minnesota Adult Teen Challenge, which has over 11 locations in the state of Minnesota to help men and women, boys and girls, kind of curb their issues through a faith-based organization.
You know, I'll tell you what, I would like to get involved somehow, not necessarily to fish, but I would be glad to volunteer next year to go up and help just to see it because I've been involved, almost every family that I know has been involved one way or another with someone who's gone through what these people have gone through, a lot of these people have gone through.
Yep.
And my guess is there's some tears shed every once in a while when there's speeches and whatnot when you come to one of these events. I think it'd be a wonderful event to be part of.
Yeah, it was really special. They had the guy that is the guru of it. I can't remember his name. He kicked it off. And really, Mark, it was a change a little bit in how the flow of the agenda went. They went back to the roots of Adult and Teen Challenge and talked about how it started in a condemned house in Northeast Minneapolis. This guy and his wife came back from, I believe they were in South Africa doing missionary work. And they got this house and he put 9 months of work into sweat equity, trying to get it up to help people for free. And he was at his wit's end and he was crying in the corner of one of the rooms after he was getting quotes from different heating and air units and he just couldn't afford it. And I can't remember the company. They stepped in, they helped him out. And years later now, they're one of the largest organizations here to help guys with and girls with, you know, issues, substance issues and all kinds of thing in life.
Well, I know that Seafoam's a big part of that. And my good friend Brian Miller and Seafoam always participate in that. And the guest I had on last week, Tony Haberle, fished with the Seafoam team because he went through that. So kudos to everyone that steps up. And what I love about it is normal everyday guys spend all year raising money for this thing. You know, like some of the guys were raise like $80,000 on their own.
Right.
I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I met a team that just at the landing that had raised 20 grand. So hundreds of thousand dollars. But let's talk a little bit about the fishing. So we, as a family, went up there to support it. Typically, I'm with Mr. Mark, but he had the graduation. So I had the ultimate pleasure of having my beautiful daughter, Sophia, who's a chip off the old block, get in the boat with me. And then Nicole, my beautiful wife, and our other son, Cole, teamed up in their Alumacraft XB200, which is more of a
what
best.
Does a little girl know about fishing, man? Don't you bring little kids up there, they don't know a squat.
Well, I tell you what, this little girl landed about a 3.5-4 pound largemouth bass on one of our first casts.
And a girl, Soph.
We started off in the morning, and Nicole and I celebrated our anniversary last weekend. That's why we weren't on the show. And what do? It's like Stru says, you're like a mailman who takes a vacation and he goes walking, right?
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
we go up fishing, which was interesting enough to see Nicole and I in the boat together pre-fishing, how'd which means, go? You know, it was great. We went out early in the morning to go for walleyes. We'd bring my boat back and then we'd bring her boat out to go bass fishing. And we had actually found a couple spots that were producing fish. So Saturday morning rolls around. Sophia and I are up at 4 a.m. We go up to Holiday, get some donuts, fill up the thermos with coffee. Now, you can't fish till 7, but you can get on the water earlier. And I had a spot that we had caught some walleyes the weekend before. And my buddy Cooper gave us some advice on another spot. But the weather was a little goofy, guys. I know across the land of 10,000 lakes, if you're driving home from the cabin listening to the Four Outdoorsmen now on Bob Country, you can empathize that Saturday was a little bit of a rough day when it came to wind, water, rain, and thunderstorms.
Our cabin got destroyed. Not the cabin, but the yard and trees and wires down at our cabin in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, Saturday. So I know what you're talking about.
And so we got out there pretty early, Stru, man, and we worked a bay. And what we had found is typically these walleyes in Gull are a lot different walleye than I've chased before. Similar to Devil's Lake, but not off really deep structure, but they were more weed line walleyes. Mm-hmm. And so we were ripping 1/8 ounce jigs from Clam Pro Tackle, their new tungsten jigs. And we were using a swim bait, like a white minnow swim bait. And we got out there early for the walleyes because I knew the weather was coming in, right? And we needed to get a bag of fish. But at first, let's go try for those, you know, frisky walleyes. And boys, I choked. I choked on a couple big thumps. You know, I was reeling it near the boat. And you got to concentrate. Lesson learned for all our listeners. Bring it all the way in the boat and keep that focus. And as I was talking to Sophie and about 8 feet off the weed lines there where we were, I felt a thump. It wasn't a tick, tick, tick. It wasn't a swipe of a crappie. It wasn't a pike with some dead weight. It was a thump of a very large fish, which, based on the structure and our presentation and what I could see of the tail, was a nice walleye.
Damn, they're big.
I bet it would have been a state record.
Oh, they're big when you can't see them.
I go to yank the hook, rod almost like a half moon. I had my medium light Jason Mitchell out there, and it just flew right out. And, you know, sometimes what happens is those walleyes take a chomp. That jig will actually spin to its side. So when you go to rip it out, you don't really get to hook the roof or the bottom of his mouth or the side. And we missed it. And so it was about 8:15, 8:30. And I knew we had to come in with a respectable bag of something of multi-species. And so there was another spot on the lake where typically Mark and I go to the bays. You know, Wilson Bay is a very popular area. There was a lot of folks that were chasing them on the lily pads. I had fished them for topwater the weekend before or with wacky worms. But some of those larger bass, what I learned with Nicole pre-fishing is, they were off of deeper breaks. They were on the main lake, right? Bigger water. So we snuck over to a couple points, and Nicole was there. We were greeted by them on one of the spots we had found. And Sophie just takes a jig with a grub, about a 3-inch grub. Water was kind of clear and murky a little bit because it was raining. And on her first cast, we found a shelf where it went down from about 4 to 6 feet down to about 10 to 12 feet, okay? But there was an 8-foot ridge line in there on that shelf where it went down. Soph throws that little 1/8 ounce Clam Pro Tackle jig with that grub on it, and thump, her rod bends over, and she pulls in a 3.5 to 4 pound largemouth, and it was absolutely great. So then it was about at 10 o'clock, and what we were doing for our listeners is we were using braided line, and then we tipped it with a swivel. The reason we used a swivel, I know you can use a liter of mono and fluoro directly to your braid, it is the swivel stops that jig from spinning. And I really believe it gives you a little more natural presentation. And we used fluoro because mono was actually one of the original fishing lines that came out. But mono can stretch a little bit. And when you're using 8-pound leader with a walleye, it'd be okay. But with bass, when they're tugging and pulling, you don't want to, if you don't have that rod tension right, you don't want that jig to spit out of its mouth. So we went with fluoro. And the history of fishing lines, Drew, if you want to get into that, is mono was the first to come out. And then about 30 years ago, braid. And braid was very popular back in the day with bass fishing when it started 30 years ago. But what happened is braid didn't stretch, but it gave you great feel. Well, a lot of rods broke, right? Because something's got to give if you're yanking on a 7 to 8 pound bass.
I remember the first braided I got some when it first came out, and I really didn't like it. The first stuff, it was like dental floss kind of.
Yeah. It's amazing how it's advanced,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, I know.
Too.
It was all waxed up, and I just hated it. I couldn't stand it, but I have tied it on recently, and it's so much better.
Yeah, you know, and we were using 30-pound braid, which had about an 8-pound diameter compared to like mono or fluoro. But the tradition of it, it came mono, braid, and then about 15-ish years ago, fluoro. And the biggest difference between fluoro and mono is it both looks clear, right? But fluoro doesn't stretch as much. It holds a little more water than mono, so it's going to sink a little faster. And that's what we went with. And we are just pitching those jigs up on that shelf line on that 8-foot break. And we caught some nice fish doing that. Well, guys, you could start weighing in around 1 o'clock. And it was raining pretty hard. And
well,
thank
I'll tell you
goodness.
What, I'll tell you what, okay, Then let's get to the meat of it. Okay, yeah. I got my history lesson. I appreciate that. Who caught all the fish between you guys? Let's get to the meat of it. Tell me the story.
It couldn't worked out any better. Nicole and I's focus that weekend for that tournament was really making sure the kids were learning different techniques and not only quantity, because that's important with 11-year-olds,
yeah,
but we needed to mix in some quality to weigh in. And Sophie caught the biggest.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
It was about
good.
3.5-4 pound bass.
Gotta grow soft.
And up on Gull Lake, what we found is most of those bass were pretty much spawned out. Okay, so that means versus them being on the shallows in their beds in 2 to 4 feet of water, plump full of eggs and being really heavy, they were on those secondary breaks where I talked about at 8 feet where the weed
yep.
lines were,
yep.
feeding and just kind of recharging their batteries. Cole caught the most bass, while Sophie caught the biggest, so that was wonderful for our family because that's going to balance out two competitive 11-year-olds. We went back in, had a little bite to eat, weighed in our fish. I think we finished in the top 20, which was pretty awesome. You know,
yeah,
Soph was
you
jacked,
guys.
So
yeah.
was Cole and Nicole. And then we called it a weekend. We kind of relaxed this morning, you know, after being up at 4 o'clock yesterday morning. I actually slept in this morning, guys, till about 9 a.m. But
wow,
for the folks that go up to that part of the country and you chase walleyes on Gull Lake, weed lines, baby. Work those weed lines. It has a ton of structure. I know there's the rock pile on the East Gull Lake. That's typically better in the fall or for a night bite. I feel that the bite up there from all the folks, I did stop at a bait store up there last weekend. Trax Guiding, I think Ryan Trax. Ryan, thanks for your tips as well as Jason from Grandview Lodge. He was nice enough to give me like a 1950s map of Gull Lake. Met some listeners, I can't remember their name, from Richfield, two little kids on a pontoon as we were going through the buoys of an unnamed bay where we found a lot of largemouth as well that we were fishing for topwater. Weed lines, weed line, weed line walleyes for them. And if you're chasing those bass up on Gull right now, they're already spawned out. But we had a lot of shout-outs, Drew, that came out. And thank you for everyone that does that. And, Mark, what do we got?
Before I get to the shout-out, I got one thing. By coincidence, yeah. My wife and I read the St. Paul. Hi, sweetheart. I think she's listening with our friend Nancy Sacco right now. But we're reading the morning paper yesterday, and now I know where this came from. We like to read Dear Abby. And there was one that says, Dear Abby, we have friends of ours, a husband and wife, who've been married about a year, and every time they go fishing, they drive separate boats. Should we be concerned? I think that was about you guys. Why do you drive separate boats when you go fishing?
Well, we have two different boats from Alumacraft that we've been blessed to fish with for the last 5 years. I have an Alumacraft Competitor 205, which is almost 21 feet long, 8 feet wide, and it's made more for bigger, deeper water. It's got a deep V, so that hull really cuts down into that triangle near
now
the bottom.
I know.
Nicole has an XB200, which is Alumacraft's newer model for bass tournament fishermen, and that is a modified V, so even though it can handle bigger water, it's less deep in the hull, so it can draft in more shallow water, which means it can float in about, you know, 8 inches of water. Mm-hmm. And so that's better application for river fishing, or what we call skinny water fishing, which is when you're looking for those fish in real shallow
water. You know, what's interesting, that's exactly the same answer that Dear Abby gave us. Boomer, I mean, Mark, give us some shout-outs, will you?
Well, we have a ton of shout-outs and just want to reset a little bit. Thank you for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. The Minnesota Lynx game is on tonight, but you can listen to us on the podcast, which I will post tomorrow. It gets replayed Saturday morning. And also we have a comment that it is on 95.9, I think. Anyway, let's get to some shout-outs here. And thank you, everyone, for wrote in. We have a lot of shout-outs. People are catching fish. Right now, Greg Clouseau says, walleyes are biting well up north. They're even hitting spoons. That's always fun. Corey Betchold says, reports up on What's Working Now Facebook page. He's got a monster bluegill. Our good friend Justin Zeiss says, Dakota Zeiss caught this 25-inch walleye on Mille Lacs. There's no fish on Mille Lacs. I don't know how that's happening. Allie Withen says, shout out to all of us on Women Anglers of Minnesota that brave the wind and rain on the 41st Wham tournament yesterday on Woman Lake. That's appropriate. Special shout out to Andrea Camphor, who was on my boat and took first in bass with this wicked 4.6 pound hog.
That one looks like it's not spawned out. It has a heck of a belly on it.
Fun.
Jordan Dahl says smallie bite on Mille Lacs is super fun right now. We have a listener in Arkansas. Stripers are hitting at Blakely Dam, Mount Pine, Arkansas, and he has a beautiful picture of a striper. I want to catch one of those someday. John Marshall's getting his new boat all rigged up in the garage. Ryan Abramson says, nice little bass on Many Point Lake. I don't, do you guys know where that one is?
Many Point Lake? It might be Vanity or Alias.
I bet it's got
name.
Many points on it. And also Travis Houghton has a picture with him and his friends in a pile of walleye. So the fish are biting out there, folks.
Yeah, and what we saw too a little bit is those crappies are getting almost done with their spawn. And so you're seeing those sunfish starting to move into the pencil reeds. So that's a great opportunity to get kids a bunch of fish. And I think I'm getting the symbol from Brandon here. We're going to hear some music, buddy. We're going to get into break here in a minute. There it is, Wild Card. Well, who's up next on the Four Outdoors?
Jay Gustafson is going to be on. Jay is, I forget what.
Why is he so special?
He's canoeing 4,500 miles.
The Forrest Gump of canoeing?
That's him. He'll be on doing paddling for progress. He'll be on the Four Outdoorsmen right after break.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Families fishing forever, the motto of Alumacraft, the best aluminum boat company in the market. Boomer here. Alumacraft boats have been a part of our family's fishing adventures for the last 5 years. Whether we're chasing walleyes, going after bass, or panfish, Alumacraft has always covered the gamut of fishability. Dry rides and amazing space are just part of the value we love in our Alumacraft. To learn more about the Alumacash Red Tag Sale, where you can save up to $2,000, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I'll tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Osseo Power Sports off Highway 81 in Osseo, the official power sports dealer of the Four Outdoorsmen and Minnesota's top Honda dealer. Check out the spring oil change and inspection special. For $49, you can get an oil and filter change along with a full unit inspection. Check out the great deals on new Hondas and huge deals on last year's models. Mention Bob FM, you get a free Osseo Power Sports t-shirt. Osseo Power Sports off Highway 81 in Osseo. OsseoPowerSports.com.
Boomer here to introduce a new way to keep your bait fresh and cool, no matter how hot the temperature gets outside. Fishing Buddy Cooler. This patented design is built to keep your leeches, worms, and live bait feisty all day long for those prized walleyes, crappies, and panfish. No more mess in your food and drink cooler or wasting bait from baking in the sun. Live bait can be expensive, and this simple solution pays for itself in no time. Fishing Buddy Cooler. Order yours now at FishingBuddyCooler.com.
Hi, this is Kyle Barr from Juice Baits. When you're fishing with soft plastics this season, you're going to rock it when you choose Juice Baits. Juice Baits are a less expensive alternative with a huge variety of options, such as craw tubes, creature baits, Sankos, tubes and jig trailers, swim baits and finesse worms, and a wide selection of crappie baits. See the entire selection of Juice Baits at JuiceBaits.com and like our Facebook page. When you hit the water, throw the juice. Juice Baits, a Minnesota company. Total Country Bob FM.
The Four Outdoorsmen are back. I tell you, we're having so much fun. We took a long break there. We apologize. We're supposed to be, we're about 3 or 4 minutes late, but we're having fun. That's what the show is all about.
Well, when you're talking hunting, fishing, and the weather cleared up, and people are driving home, we want to yip-yap a little bit, Stu.
Hey, Brandon, have we got somebody on the line here? All right, Brandon, we got, I tell you, the next guest is Jay Gustafson, and Jay is, I'm not even exactly sure where you are. Jay, are you there, my friend?
Good afternoon.
Hey, Jay, how are you? Sound really good. Where are you?
I am on the Pine River at the South Bend campsite just before the Upper Whitefish Lake chain.
You sound good. Did you see that drone in the air about an hour ago, half an hour ago?
I think it missed me.
I told talked to Jay today. Jay Gustafson is canoeing 4,500 miles called Paddle for Progress. We'll let him talk all about that. But I told him, try to find some place where you're quiet, of course, where he is. I'm sure you might get decent reception. And I said, if you're all by yourself at the campsite, at about 5:45, look in the air, I'm going to send you a drone with a bottle of wine. He said it didn't happen. It didn't happen, right, Jay?
It did not happen, no, but that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead, Boomer.
Hey, Jay, Boomer here with the Four Outdoorsmen. Thanks for joining us tonight, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jay, before we get into this 4,500-mile paddle canoe ride you're doing for Clean Water, tell our listeners on the Four Outdoorsmen of Bob Country, give them a background, a little bit about who Jay Gustafson is.
Sure. I am a South Dakota native. I was born and raised in the Sioux Falls area and went to school down in Vermilion. I came up to the cities in 2006 and worked at a great company for about 10 years. And I had a chance to through paddle the Mississippi River in the summer of 2016 for my task onto the Gulf of Mexico. And when I was on that trip, it really helped me to realize that my passion was out on the rivers. And so I came back and worked for about another year, and I left my job last summer in July to start the project that I'm in the middle of right now.
All right, Jay, let's talk about that a little bit. You worked about 10 years as some kind of a business analyst or something like that. I mean, what caused you, when you took the trip from Itasca State Park down to the Gulf of Mexico, and that's a long, it's a long ways, you started that, you did that for the heck of it, I think, did you not? Or did you have water clarity in mind when you began that trip as well?
Yeah, so I did that trip with my cousin Jeremy. We had talked about it for years, and we finally decided to just go for it. And we had no purpose whatsoever other than a personal goal for him and I to do it. And we ended up getting all 2,361.2 of those miles done. And, you know, I just, every day I woke up out there, and life seemed to, for the first time, really make sense to me. And I had made an off comment to my cousin at the time. I said, when I get back, I'm going to paddle all the rivers that the DNR maps in Minnesota, having no idea what I was really saying. And, you know, like I said, I came back and I started working at a course at my church that helps people understand kind of who they are, what their passions are, what their values are, their personality, things like that. And then the challenge really is to take that information and to apply it to your life. And as I looked at myself and I thought, well, my passion is canoeing and it's out in the water and, you know, trying to make a difference as it relates to water quality. I just thought I need to be doing the same thing that I'm challenging others to do. And So I just decided to go for it, and here I am, 20 rivers in. I'm on my 21st river right now on the Pine.
You know, you make this sound like it's a real big deal. About 2000, and it's not, pal, because about 2001, 2002, I canoed around White Bear Lake, and that was before they had bars on the lake. So what you're doing is nothing special as far as I'm concerned. Just kidding you, pal. Just kidding you. You've done 20 lakes so far. What have you found water quality is? What have you found, like, say, today as compared to 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, what I would say is that, you know, we've had this amazing analysis done by the Pollution Control Agency over the last 10 years. And what they've done is they've gone through and identified exactly what's going on with our water and all of the 80 watersheds across the state. And so we know a lot more about our water now than we did even 5 years ago. And so if you look at what we know now compared to then, it looks as though the trajectory is only getting worse. And I think in some ways it is, because we're to the point now where we know what's going on, and we probably lack some action in terms of tangible things that we're doing. Not to say that there aren't amazing projects going on throughout multiple agencies that deal with water in the state, but what we need to do now is really focus in on some of the things that we know are happening, and we need to get moving, because we're kind of at this tipping point now where if we don't start to change the direction where we're going, you know, we're at about 40% of our water being unsuitable for aquatic life, not necessarily safe for recreation. And it's really just taxing a lot of the system as far as infrastructure, wastewater treatment, things like that. So it's getting to the point where we're starting to see the quality of water degraded and our infrastructure not really keeping up with it. And some of the cities are paying the price, especially down like in southwest Minnesota.
All right, hang on a second. Go boom.
Well, Jay, I respect exactly what you're doing. As someone who is diehard about hunting and fishing and communicating, you know, professionally with our radio show and the fishing industry, what you're doing needs to be applauded and really takes some guts. Because 10 years ago, right, you quit your job to do this full time. Is that correct?
Only a couple of years ago, but he worked at a job for 10 years, correct?
Yeah, I had the job for 10 years. I quit last July, and I started on July 6th of last summer.
He's obviously not married. Keep on going, Boomer.
So with that, Jay, question for you. That took a lot of guts and canoes, you know, but what do you do now to make money to keep this thing going? Can people sponsor you to keep this alive, or what do you do to fund this beast of a mission that you're on?
Yeah, so last year I paid for pretty much all of it out of my pocket. There was some generous family and friends who helped me. There are ways that people can donate, and at this point that's exactly how I'm doing it, is through donations of good people across Minnesota. There is a place on my website, which is waterwayj.com, that people can donate on there. I also have a GoFundMe campaign set up that there's plenty of information if you search Waterway J on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And that really gives a cost breakdown of exactly what I'm looking at this summer and exactly how people can do it. I've always said if you want to sponsor Waterway J for a day, it's like $60 is basically what it breaks down to.
Well, Jay, for our listeners that are tuning in to Bob Country and the Four Outdoorsmen, we're officially off of the Lynx game. Thanks for tuning in on your way home. We send a quick recap of my family's adventure with a fishing report up at the Minnesota Adult Teen Challenge. We have Mr. Jay Gustafson, or I call it the aquatic version of Forrest Gump, because he's paddling 4,500 miles for clean water and quit his job to do this. You can donate to him at waterwayj.com. He's got a GoFundMe page. Jay, with all that being said, do you have an estimate for our listeners for you to do this and paddle 4,500 miles? How much does that cost?
Yeah, I mean, basically what I came up with for the beginning of May when I started this year to the end of October, which is when I'll finish, it costs roughly, it's a little under $11,000 by the time that you factor in gas, groceries, you know, a little bit of gear here and there just to kind of keep that in good working order. So I think the actual amount is $10,816.
Now, Jay, between your paddling 4,500 miles, I have to ask you, do you have a fishing rod in the canoe?
I don't dare say this, but no, I don't.
Oh, my goodness. I thought if your arms start to tire out that you could take a second break just to, you know, throw a little grub and a jig in there and see if you could pull out a beast of a fish to have for dinner.
Well, I'm confident that I probably could, but, you know, that's one more thing I got to carry. And when it's just me, I try to keep the load as light as possible.
All right, Jay, you're talking about that. What are some of the obstacles that you've come across? You've gone 20 rivers and tributaries, I think they call them right now.
Look at you.
I went to Kyle, I went to Hamlin, pal. Yeah. And you went, and you've gone 20, I think it's 34 to 35 you're going to be doing. What are some of the obstacles that you've had to overcome during your trip so far?
Sure. One of the things that I'm doing is monitoring the channel conditions and submitting that to the DNR. I also visit every campsite and landing along the way and make maintenance recommendations on those as well.
That's good. Yeah.
We've got some disrepair in the system, and we've got a lot of choked off channels. And so, just as an example, I think one of the largest log jams that I've encountered, it was probably 30 yards tall and probably went for 100 yards. That was on the Cottonwood River. There's a similar log jam like that on the Blue Earth, but I mean, just on a day-to-day basis when I'm out on the water, just having to go around obstacles in the channel is pretty big. Logistics are a really big challenge. So, you know, I can drive to the start of any river, but if I get to the end, I've got to have a way to get back to my vehicle. So
that's
certainly been a challenge. And then, you know, like we talked about a few minutes ago, just making sure that I've got enough money to continue to fund this effort. That's challenging too, and it's something where I know it's easy to look at what I'm doing and say, oh, this guy's just out there screwing around, you know, floating the rivers. But, you know, I look at this as my full-time work right now. I quit a job that I was doing pretty well at, and, you know, I'm willing to do this because I think it's something that all Minnesotans should care about, and I think that water is something that connects all of us. So to me, this is a service to everybody, and I hope that more people become engaged and just understand what's going on. You know, I recently saw that 80 to 85% of people across the state think we're on the right track with water policy and with regards to protecting lakes and rivers, and yet we have almost half our water that's contaminated. So I think it's just important for people to understand that this is occurring more than anything.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, if you finish this one and you want to be a real man, you have to go upstream next time, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've actually been upstream once today because the start of the river is just outside of Backus, Minnesota, and it's more like a trickle, say, from the faucet. And I got stuck in the cattails about a mile in and had to circle back upstream, and a nice man named Don got me around that portion and back onto the river.
I forget, either Big Fork or Little Fork flows north in Minnesota, and I got stuck on that river going the wrong way one time, but I'm Polish, so it worked out real well.
Yeah, those will be good ones.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay, I have a question for you. Can you give some tips on maybe landowners? I know farming is a big problem, and nitrogen in the water is really what's screwing everything up. But can you give some tips or anything for people that own land next to the water? I'm thinking, you know, probably a buffer strip helps, or, you know, taking it easy on the fertilizer. But as you go by, do you notice what kind of things really help keep the water clean if you have a piece of land next to the water?
Yeah, I mean, those two things are big. Do you have to have out the chemical company to spray your lawn? How long is the grass along the water? You know, can you pick up your pet waste? What kind of surfaces do you have, you know, as it faces back toward the water? Is there anything that you can do that, you know, if you've got hard surfaces that might be able to catch a little bit of water? Some people like to do rain gardens. There's definitely, you know, any vegetation that you can plant along hard surfaces really helps. But even just, you know, how much water are you pulling out of the ground to water your lawn? And are there, you know, ways that you can scale that back even to just reduce water going through your yard and right into the right into the river or lake again.
You know, Jay, getting back to the question that Wildcard asked you about challenging conditions, you know, a shout out to my beautiful wife, Nicole, and our lovely kids, Sophia and Cole, because we were just at the Adult Teen Challenge tournament and had a blast out there, but it was raining cats and dogs. And we were out on the water for 8 hours, and thank goodness we had the right gear and the right boats to work it through. But you never mentioned weather. Have you encountered any like inclement conditions where you just had to stop paddling for a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I actually, I took a day off last week because of how warm it was, and I just decided not to paddle because it was 100 degrees. And I've definitely had some pretty rock and thunderstorms over the, you know, summer months last year. A lot of times you can hide out under a bridge, so it's really good to carry the map series with you, because at least then you know how far you are from, say, a county park or something like that. But, you know, the one luxury that you do have when you're doing a trip like this, you are through paddling rivers, but a lot of the water in Minnesota on these rivers is only, you know, 30 to 100 miles long. So you're only out for a few days, and a lot of times you can work around the weather if you need to. Versus, man, when I was through paddling that trip on the Mississippi, you're just out there and it is what it is, and you get into some pretty hairy weather, and yeah, it can be a challenge. You're right.
Hey, Jay, we're going to finish up in about a minute here, okay? While you're on the river, we're talking with Jake Gustafson, Paddle for Progress, all about water quality, and what you're doing is really, really, really good. We appreciate the opportunity to have you on the 4 Outdoorsman. But while you're on the water, you're helping the DNR, which is great as well. Hopefully they're putting a few bucks in your pocket. But you can't communicate with people on the water. When you're done this year paddling 4,500 miles, how do you continue promoting your cause?
Sure. You know, one of the things that I do is I try to form partnerships with organizations that are also committed to our rivers and to water quality. And so ideally, I continue to be able to talk about this project and to work through those organizations at events that they're doing. And ideally, I end up in some work that is really focused on this and, you know, maybe shift gears a little bit in terms of career so that I can continue to pursue this passion.
I have one final question before Brandon starts the music. We're going to take another break here. But, and this is a very, very important question. It's a personal favor I'm going to ask you. But is it okay? I love to pee over the side of a boat. Is that okay?
You what?
I like to pee over the side of a boat.
What about the side of the boat?
Never mind, pal. Never mind. I like to go over the side of the boat, and I said, "Is that going to be an issue? Is that going to bother water quality?"
Oh, okay. Now I'm tracking with you. You know, could you just get out and be at least 30 feet from the water? That would help.
All right, Jay. Jay Gustafson. He's Waterway Jay. I tell you what, he Paddle for Progress. You want to donate to his cause? Go to waterwayj.com. Have you got an email address, Jay?
Yes, it's waterwayj@gmail.com.
Waterway Jay. GoFundMe, Strew. And he's on Facebook. And this new thing that you're getting into, within the next 5 years, you'll have an Instagram account.
Not me, pal, not me. Jay Gustafson, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. I'm going to call you later on. I got to talk to you, pal. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Please be safe, and thank you very much for what you do.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a wonderful evening.
A good night.
Well, I tell you what, 4 Outdoorsman, my Bob Country listeners, we've got a great guest coming up. Tanner Cherney from Devil's Lake, North Dakota, going to be headed out there with the Alumacraft. Stay tuned after commercials to hear what's coming.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Families fishing forever, the motto of Alumacraft, the best aluminum boat company in the market. Boomer here. Alumacraft boats have been a part of our family's fishing adventures for the last 5 years. Whether we're chasing walleyes, going after bass, or panfish, Alumacraft has always covered the gamut of fishability. Dry rides and amazing space are just part of the value we love in our Alumacraft. To learn more about the Alumacash Red Tag Sale, where you can save up to $2,000, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Osseo Power Sports off Highway 81 in Osseo, the official power sports dealer of the 4 Outdoorsman and Minnesota's top Honda dealer. Check out the spring oil change and inspection special. For $49, you can get an oil and filter change along with a full unit inspection. Check out the great deals on new Hondas and huge deals on last year's models. Mention Bob FM, you get a free Osseo Power Sports t-shirt. Osseo Power Sports off Highway 81 in Osseo. OsseoPowerSports.com.
Boomer here to introduce a new way to keep your bait fresh and cool, no matter how hot the temperature gets outside. Fishing Buddy Cooler. This patented design is built to keep your leeches, worms, and live bait feisty all day long for those prized walleyes, crappies, and panfish. No more mess in your food and drink cooler or wasting bait from baking in the sun. Live bait can be expensive, and this simple solution pays for itself in no time. Fishing Buddy Cooler. Order yours now at FishingBuddyCooler.com.
Hi, this is Tyler Barr from Juice Baits. Juice Baits is a Minnesota company based out of Brainerd. Juice Baits are tried, true, and tested by me and my brother Kyle, who are both high school fishing state champions. And we know a good bait, so we came up with Juice Baits. Buy the whole line of soft plastics infused with the juice and get ready for boatloads of fish this season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and see the whole Juice Baits story on the web at juicebaits.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen of the 10,000 Lakes. Hope you're dried off from this Saturday if you were out on the water. Beautiful today, a little chillier. Forecast looks like it's going to get a little warmer, and it's going to get a little warmer when I head out to Devil's Lake to meet Mr. Tanner. But before we get to that wild card and producer Mark,
yep,
we've had the joy of talking hunting and fishing on the airwaves of FM stereo for about 5 years or a little north of that, and we can't do it without great sponsors. Aluma Craft Boats, best aluminum boat in the market, been a part of my family with Nicole and I's two boats for the last 5 years now. On top of that, Blackfish gear that kept us dry and comfy, Soph and I in the Alumacraft, for 8 hours when we were fishing, and Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where we'll be headed out there soon.
Lakes Trading Company, the best gun shop in the Twin Cities. What do you got, Marky?
I have an update from Ben at Lakes Trading Company.
There you go.
They are open for all aspects of business other than the range at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Business hours are Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 9. So they are running everything except for the range. Go pay visit to them. They've been through a lot, and they are great partners of ours.
Like my commercial said, what fire? These guys just, they don't slow down. Good for Ben and the boys. Thanks for being one of the sponsors of the 4 Outdoorsman Lakes Trading Company. Fishing Buddy Coolers, we talked about them. Go ahead,
Mark. Yeah, Fishing Buddy Cooler. I tell you what, that is a great patented bait bucket that will keep your bait frisky for 8 hours when it's 80 degrees out. And that's really going to be important this time of year, because we are getting in the time where once you get off of those breaks or weed lines and you throw a slip bobber with a leech, that's going to be triggering a lot of walleye bites here in the next week or two. And Fishing Buddy Coolers, where I'm going to be keeping my leeches.
What if I wanted to keep a couple of beers in there?
I don't think it's big enough, buddy. Unless they have like mini 4 ounce beers, then you could be that creative.
Yeah, I'll tell you, since you're the real deal, Boomer, why don't you talk about Osseo Power Sports?
Well, Osseo Power Sports, right next to our lovely house there in Osseo Maple Grove, they got a complete lineup of Hondas. Paul and those folks have been a great sponsor. If you need to get some maintenance work done or you're looking for a great deal, and I believe maybe they do, but if you mention the 4 Outdoorsman or Bob Country, you're going to get a free t-shirt from Osseo Power Sports. And if Strew, you find him on Facebook, he'll even autograph it for you.
I might buy you a cocktail. Boomer, hey, Mark, what do you got, some more shout-outs, buddy?
I just want to do a quick shout-out to Hometown Heroes Outdoors. They have a barbecue fundraiser July 21st, 2 to 6 p.m. at Veterans Campground, 11,300 180th Street North Marine on the St. Croix. All tickets available online at evenbright.com. 100% of the proceeds go to getting people currently serving the military, veterans, and law enforcement into the outdoors for recreation. So that sounds like a great event. Please help out our friends at Hometown Heroes Outdoors.
That's July 21st, I think it is, from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Hometown Hero Outdoors. Those guys are dedicated. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a shout out to the 6th annual Walleye and Bass Fishing Tournament, Fishing for Our Heroes. Nicole and I, my lovely wife and I, are going to get to MC that, and it's August 25th through the 26th on Arrowhead Resort in Alexandria, Minnesota. I've been fishing in that for the last few years, and all the proceeds support scholarships for our military heroes. That's the Fishing for Heroes 6th Annual Walleye and Bass Fishing Tournament, August 25th and 26th. Come out and say hi to Nicole and I.
Last shout out for, this is dear to my heart, before we get to our friend Tanner from Devil's Lake. Listen to this. This is from the Outdoor News just today or whatever it was, but the Twins, Minnesota Twins, and they won today 7-5, and the DNR are offering free hats. Anyone coming to the with a 2018 Minnesota fishing or hunting license can receive a free camouflage Minnesota Twins baseball hat.
Cool.
When you come to a Minnesota Twins baseball. And as part of the Minnesota DNR Days partnership with the Twins, license holders may purchase a reserved game ticket and receive a special Twins cap at the remaining games, the June 24th. Just go to the DNR website, Minnesota Twins website. That's cool, and I've seen these hats. They really are cool. Minnesota Twins, DNR.
Well, I tell you what is cool. Tomorrow at 5 a.m., I'm headed out with Josh from Blue 42 Agency, and we're going out to Devil's Lake, North Dakota in a Lumacraft boat. And guess who we have? Tanner Cherney, the 5th Outdoorsman. Welcome to the 4 Outdoorsmen, my friend.
How are you guys tonight?
We're doing good, buddy. We're sitting here in studio. We'd be better if we were on a boat. Where are you at right now, my friend?
I am currently in the garage getting all my gear ready for tomorrow and Tuesday for our fishing adventures. And I would be on the lake, but it's probably about a 30-mile-an-hour south or west wind here right now. So
you're being boomered.
Good night.
Hopefully the doomer boomer impact is happening right now, because it looks like we're going to have some pretty good weather, Tanner, to do a fishing trip, film a couple shows with Midwest Outdoors TV, and do a photo shoot. Now, Tanner, before we get into what's going on in Devil's Lake with fishing, and I know we got a full week ahead of us in the Alumacraft and gearing up with some blackfish gear, rumor has it on Devil's Lake Facebook, you caught a personal best walleye in open water just a few days ago. Is that true?
I sure did. That was on, Tuesday night. I ended up pulling in a 28-inch walleye in about 4 feet of water up here out fishing with my dad. It was a pretty special moment that night out in the boat.
Well, let's hear the story, my friend. Come on, listeners are chomping at the bits as they're driving home from their cabins here in Minnesota.
Absolutely. So, you know, this time of the year, it's a great time to be fishing shallow in Devil's Lake. So it was, we got off the work at 5, and my dad was off for the evening, and we're like, you know what? It's not windy. It's a beautiful night. Let's just go hit the lake for a couple hours and do some exploring. So I was kind of doing what a lot of people always say, is fish the conditions, not the spots where you think the fish are going to be. So we had a southeast wind, so I went and found northwest shorelines, and we just started working on pitching the cattails in those areas. And we probably fished for about an hour and a half, and we probably had about a half dozen or so pike that we'd caught. Hadn't found any walleyes yet, so I was wondering if the pressure was dropping. We had just had a front come through that morning, so I was wondering if we were on the wrong end of the fishing for the day. We finally found my dad caught about a 24-inch walleye that night at about 7:30. So we decided to mark that spot, set down our anchor on the Minn Kota trolling motor, and bobber fish there for another half hour, just because, you know, where there's one walleye, there's got to be more. Well, we fished that for another half hour and pulled one more 17-inch walleye in and a nice little keeper, and that was about all we had for action. So we just decided to keep working that windy shoreline. We were pitching quarter-ounce jigs with twister tails on them. I had that famous little walleye assassin tail on mine. And it was probably about a half hour until dark, and we're like, you know, we might as well turn back around this shoreline we were on and keep working it, because we don't really have time to move to any other spots before it gets dark on us. And we know there's got to be a few more fish in there. So we're getting to the end of this point, and no one would believe me if I told you this. Like, literally 3 casts before I caught that fish, there was a boat coming in a little bit deeper, but right next to us. And I was ready to tell my dad, this would be the perfect time to catch a decent fish, just when there's another boat coming by and they could see it. Well, 2 casts later, I hit the right outside the cattails, got about 5 cranks on my rod. And all of a sudden, it's just like I got a snag, and it was just dead weight. And then the drag started pulling a little bit, and I could see the head shakes giving. I'm like, well, that's not a snag, that's a fish. And so I slowly was, I should preface this too, I just restrung my rod here 2 weeks ago and totally missed one of the eyelets on there with my line. So I had that working against me. I had my own line-to-line tied fluorocarbon leader just because of the amount of pike up here. It's a lot easier. You don't get as many breakoffs with that fluorocarbon leader onto your braid. And I was just worried that whole time that I knew it was a big fish. I'm like, it's going to break my leader, or my line's just going to get frayed on this little eyelet spot here. So I probably battled it for a good 4 minutes, and it kept staying down. We were about 40 yards away from the cattails where we were casting into, and it finally got right next to the boat, and it wasn't surfacing. And I'm like, God, this is not a pike, I don't think, because of the fact that it would have splashed or did a couple runs by now. And sure enough, it dug right in, and all of a sudden I could just see the tail turn, and I'm like, oh, boy, that's a big walleye.
Tanner, was that your exact term, oh, boy?
No, that's probably a tamed-down term. Yeah, that's more of a radio-appropriate one. So when we saw the tail turn, it took one run away from the boat and started going deeper. And then my dad took the net out, and luckily we have a net that extends to dang near 8 feet. And he dug that thing down 2 feet in the water and scooped right up underneath him, got him into the boat. And the fish got bigger and bigger as like it got closer to me. And I'm like, this is a big fish. So, of course, right away I put the tape to him, and it was 28 inches on the nose. We took two quick photos and then did that little quick video report of it and released it right back to the water. And the rest of the night, I could not function. Usually I come back to boat in the garage, you know, first time. It took me like 20 minutes because I was just so flustered and still had so much adrenaline running through me that, yeah, it was a special night. And my dad was there to net the fish with me, so it made it even that more.
Well, I tell you what, Boomer, special. I mean, Tanner, you and your dad have had so many great, great memories, and you're very blessed, and you know that, and I share that with you all the time. And you're the envy of every one of us sitting in the studio right now. What is the water temperature? I'm surprised that the walleyes are in 4 feet of water. For me, I would think that's a little bit shallow at this time of the year already.
Well, the water temp, we were seeing surface temps around 70 degrees, but that's the unique thing about Devil's Lake is we seem to have two different classes of fish in this lake, where you got the walleyes that are always deep, which is 15, 20 feet and deeper throughout the year, and then you have the walleyes that are in 4 to 15 feet that never really wander outside that range all year long. But we've had some cold water temps, so the shallow bite is going to be good for about at least another month, just the way our late ice come off. So that's some of our most active fish you're going to find in that less than 10 feet of water.
I had the pleasure to be with Mark Lukey and his dad up in Canada a couple of years ago, and Mark caught his personal best walleye, and I had the pleasure of netting that for him, and it was about 29, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it was.
29 inches, and of course we photographed and did the things and released it. Are you going to have a mount made of this fish? Because it's probably pretty unlikely you're going to catch bigger than a 28-inch walleye.
You know, I've thought about it. I have one on the wall, and I've been thinking of maybe doing a replica of it because we did get the measurements of it. But to me, the picture of it and the video of it is just good enough for me for memories that way, and that was the most important thing I could have from it.
Attaboy.
You know, Tanner, it's interesting you talked about windblown shorelines and weed lines, because early in the show, that was a similar spot that Nicole and I had found pre-fishing for the adult and teen challenge for largemouth bass. And so, Tanner, with all the different nooks and crannies of Devil's Lake, one of the things I love about it, and I believe it's like 130-something thousand acre lake right now, but it's spider webs all over the place. Even on windy days, Tanner, you can find little spots where the wind isn't too bad, but it's still windblown where you can fish those shorelines, correct?
Oh, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of those bays where they'll hook out and they'll come back in, and there's so much different little hidden areas that, yes, you don't have to get yourself beat up out there on the rough water on the big lake, get into spots that are calmer but still have that little bit of ripple coming in there and where the bait fish are kind of stacking up at.
So, Tanner, with that being said, let's say it's not a windblown shoreline type of day. It's a more calmer day for Devil's Lake. Talk to our listeners a little bit about a couple different techniques. We got 2 minutes to hear from you on what they could do to catch some of those prized walleyes on Devil's Lake.
Sure. So like a calmer day when you don't have that wind to work in your favor, what a lot of guys will do is they'll continue that pitching bite with jigs or even crankbaits, like different Rapalas or flicker shads, whatever it may be. But once you get that fish, or if you find like a few walleyes, we had that happen 2 weeks ago. It was a flat palm day and we were seeing the walleyes follow us. But it was a matter of trying to get them to bite while the water was so crystal clear, and just they weren't that active. So what we ended up doing was once we found where the walleyes were, we anchored up right there and threw out slip bobbers and had a little more of a slower presentation and had those hooked up with leeches on the bottom of them, and that seemed to be the better thing to do on those bright, sunny, windless days up here.
Hey, Tanner, I'll tell you what, we're going to let you go. We got to wrap it up here in a couple of seconds, but thanks for being one of the great sponsors and friends of the Four Outdoorsmen. And you and Boomer and the gang have a wonderful 2 or 3 days starting tomorrow morning. I'm excited for you guys.
Oh, it's going to be a fun little trip with Boomer. I hope he has that Alumacraft all ready to go, because I think we're going to be putting a few miles on it.
Yeah, it's in the parking lot right now, buddy. It'll be charged and ready to go. Real quick, how can folks find out more information about Devil's Lake, North Dakota?
You can go right to our website. It's devilslakend, as in North Dakota, .com, or on our Facebook page, which is just / Devil's Lake. And that brings us right to our Visit Devil's Lake page, where we have all of our video reports and photos and just information and event stuff right on there. And that's probably one of our number one marketing pieces, is our Facebook page.
Well, there he is, Tanner Cherney. Thanks for joining us on the Four Outdoorsmen. We're wrapping it up, Stru and Mark.
Yeah, I have a quick shout out. 99 boats in the FLW Whitefish Chain High School Open today. Congrats to Cambridge Isanti Anglers on their 30th place finish.
Well, what a show. We talked about my family's adventure out at Minnesota Adult Teen Challenge. We mixed in some fishing reports. A guy that paddled 4,500 miles or in pursuit of that for clean water. And Tanner Cherney with Devil's Lake, huh, Stru?
Jay Gustafson, Paddle for Progress. Go to waterwayjay.com to support him. I'll tell you what, he's the real deal. Thanks for what you do, Jay. Thanks for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, I'll tell you what do you got to say, Boomer?
And get outdoors.
You got it.